Our reading from the Word of God this evening comes from Joshua chapter 8. The book of Joshua chapter 8. We're going to read the first 29 verses of this chapter. And they serve as the text for tonight. Notice that the last verse of chapter 7 says, "So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, "Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them, for they will come out after us, till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you." Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush, and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that were on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early. And the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them, and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand." Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them so they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000. Even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it an heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. So far we read from God's word. May he use this reading as a blessing to us. After God turned from the fierceness of his anger, he came and appeared to Joshua, and Joshua transmitted what Jehovah said to him to the children of Israel. But he came to Joshua with encouragement and with instructions and with promised victory. With promised victory. I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. But he had told Joshua to arise, arise, not just get off your chair, but arise. We may believe from a position of being prostrated before God's throne. And the idea that we may take of that is because God had told Joshua something that he did not do in their previous attempt to attack Ai. He took the advice of the spies that said, take 3,000 and go. This time, he followed the directives that God gave to him in Numbers 27. And he told Joshua that at that time, stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for you after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word shall they come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. He took that word, and he followed that directive, and he was asking God's guidance and God's blessing and God's answer. What Joshua ended up telling the children of Israel about how to attack Ai, we may believe is what God told Joshua. We only read very briefly, verse 2 at the end, lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So we only have a little bit of what God said to Joshua, but we may believe that all the details that were worked out were also what God told Joshua. So now Joshua proceeds. They had learned. He learned what he forgot the first time. we have to seek God's guidance. It has to be by God's will that we go forth and do this. They learned this the hard way. They learned this after being chastened. Their defeat at Ai resulted in 36 deaths. We may say only, but 36 deaths resulted of their hasty effort. And now God comes and says no. And he taught them through that defeat that they had to do it his way. But now God again says the same thing. So when they seek his wisdom and seek his guidance, he responds just the same way he had responded at Jericho. I have given them. They will be yours. Yours is already the victory. And he assured them now too. And again, it's past tense. They have been given to you. They're already defeated, as it were. Go forth before a defeated foe. And is not that the way we are to live? The world rises up in its wickedness. Instead of being fearful, they're already defeated. They're already lost. The devil may rage and his power may be strong to lead us into temptations at times. He's defeated. And all his host, they have not the prevailing strength to survive. We may believe they're defeated. That may be and is to be our perspective. It doesn't relieve us of responsibilities. And we'll look at that a bit more as we go on. But God makes it obvious when he says, see, I have given into thy hand. See, look. Look with faith. Now you hear, but thus you see that I have already given them to you. See by faith. God's promise warrants on the part of Joshua and the children of Israel a confidence about a successful outcome. But then they don't sit back and say, okay, make it happen. Because God proceeds and he says, now set an ambush. This is how you are to approach them. This is how you are to fulfill your responsibility and calling. He commands them at the same time to utterly destroy everyone that's in the city. He had done that at Ai. Now why? Remind ourselves. The armies of Israel are performing that judgment of God that's just as powerful and as clear as the flood which destroyed all the living except 8 souls, and just as the fire and brimstone destroyed all the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it did because their iniquity had, they had filled the cup of iniquity, they had filled the measure. Their wickedness. And because the king is emphasized at the very end of the chapter, the king must have been notorious in leading the way in sinful activity. He was a king. He was the leader. And he was also the leader in iniquity. And thus the calling of God was destroy every man, woman, and child. 12,000 deaths. 12,000 deaths, babies, old, frail people, everyone, because God's because the horror of sin is to be understood as the reason why judgment must be executed. Now, set an ambush. God assures them of victory, but then at the very same time, he commands them, lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. He's going to give victory, but he's going to give victory in the way of and in the use of their obedience, their faith-induced obedience. Victory is theirs in the way of their obeying God. Obeying by faith. Obedience is that which God works within us. But that obedience required on their part diligence and self-denial. Diligence and self-denial. God is sovereign. If the 5 points of Calvinism are summarized in one statement, it's that. When we profess total depravity, irresistible, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints, they all flow from the sovereignty of God. But the sovereignty of God uses means. The sovereignty of God uses means. Not as a diversion, but as an explanation, we take the time to read the 17th article of the third and fourth heads of the Canons of Dort. As the almighty operation of God, there's the sovereignty, whereby he prolongs and supports our natural life, does not exclude, but requires the use of means. What are the means whereby God prolongs and supports our natural life? Eating properly, resting, exercising. Those are the normal means that God uses, does not exclude, but he uses them for prolonging and supporting natural life. So just as God has means to do that in nature, in natural life, but God requires the use of those means by which God in his infinite mercy and goodness has chosen to exert his influence. So also the before mentioned supernatural operation of God, the spiritual operations of God by which we are regenerated, in no wise excludes or subverts the use of the gospel, which the most wise God has ordained to be the seed of regeneration and the food of the soul. Therefore, the apostles and teachers who succeeded the apostles, piously instructed the people concerning the grace of God to his glory and the abasement of all pride. In the meantime, however, neglected not to keep them from the sacred precepts of the gospel in the exercise of the word, sacraments, and discipline. So just as they did, so now today, to this day, be it far from either instructors or instructed to presume to tempt God and the church by separating what he in his good pleasure hath most intimately joined together. Grace is conferred by means of admonitions, and the more readily we perform our duty, the more imminent usually is this blessing of God working in us, and the more directly is his work advanced, to whom alone all the glory, both of the means and their saving fruit and efficacy, is forever due. So God says to the children of Israel, I've given you Ai and all of the king and all of his land. Now you I'm going to use the means of your diligence and self-denial. You go forth and you set an ambush. The first attempt, 3,000 men. 2,000, 3,000, that's all you need. Joshua sent 3,000. God says, take all the people. This is almost makes me smile. Do you know how many people that was in the army then? The last numbering that Moses did showed that the number of the children of Israel in the army from 20 years old and upward who were ready to fight numbered 601,730. The spy says, 3,000. God says, all. Nobody sits back. Nobody is excluded. 601,730 go to war. Everybody. 30,000 special men of valor. You go and you hide on the west side of the city. He says behind. If they came from the north, the spies were hiding, the ambush was hiding on the west side between Ai and Bethel. Now we read that the men of Bethel also came out and fought with the men of Ai. Now, if we would say 3,000 to defeat 12,000, that was foolish. But you know what we're going to say? 601,700, almost 602,000 men to kill 12,000? Men, women, and children? That's a little excessive. God said, no, all the people. Nobody is to be lazy. Everybody is to put forth an effort. The whole of the army is to be involved. The ambush. That's a humble way to defeat a foe, a small foe. Pride says, I'll take you on toe-to-toe, and I'll beat you. Let's slug it out. God says, no, you're not going to slug it out. You're going to have an ambush. Pretty humble. Because what it's going to take is that 30,000 men are going to have to lose a night of sleep in order to put themselves in a position. And they're going to have to be there quietly. They're going to sleep on the cold ground if they're going to get any rest at all, behind bushes, in valleys, in ditches. They may not be detected. They have to be absolutely still and quiet. Self-denial, humble, diligent. And then we'll take the remaining 570,000 men of war, and we'll come at them from the north. But we're going to travel through the night, hide behind the valley, behind the hill, and then appear in the valley and come down, and they'll see us there in the morning. So the 570,000 had to be just as diligent, just as practicing just as much self-denial. Elaborate instructions that are given. That frontal attack, that frontal approach was to tempt the men of Ai to come out. That kind of a plan required cooperation, agreement, concord. No discord, no jealousy. I want to be among the ambush because they're going to get in the city and maybe they're going to take more spoil. No, they all had to work together, each one in their own place with their own task, required to do their work faithfully. That's God's instruction as to how his sovereignty is to be executed. And that's the way in which the victory, the promised victory, was realized. It wasn't too humbling for Joshua and all the people. They tasted the chastening hand of God. They learned. And what they learned was, we will do what God tells us to do. That's the right way. And so they conduct themselves. Joshua, it's noted, we could have been told that Joshua did it. But we're told very specifically, he arose and he arose up early. He set, as it were, his alarm clock early. He was going to get out there. He was going to do what he was supposed to do. And he was going to be an example of the kind of diligence and zeal and earnestness that God requires of us when we obey him. What does God want me to do? How does God want me to do it? That's what I want to do. I want to do it God's way in every sense. Not only what he tells me to do, but also how he tells me to do it. So the whole fighting force, 570,000 men, went out, camped, came over the hill in the morning, in the dark at night, waiting for the battle of the next day. Faith-induced obedience complied with God's command. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. A miracle occurred. And the miracle we somewhat sometimes would overlook. How 30,000 men could not be detected. The city wasn't that large, but how 30,000 men could be hiding and not detected was as much a miracle as the sun standing still. But here's the sovereignty of God. He sets out the command of obedience. This is what you must do. They comply. But God still is sovereign in his control of all things. Just as God withheld Abimelech from Sarah when Abraham says, that's my sister. Just as God withheld Laban from fighting against and taking Jacob back. Just as the fear of God kept the men of the other cities around Shechem from going after Jacob and his sons after they avenged Shechem. Just as God had made a promise, and here's a promise that I confess I've often not even thought of. God had told the children of Israel, there are three feasts where you all are to go to Jerusalem. And during those feast days, everybody in the whole country is to go to Jerusalem to celebrate those feasts. In Exodus 34, verse 24, let me read 23 and 24. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. If any king or enemy of Israel knew what the practice of the children of Israel was, they would say, hey, that's the time when we can really ravage the land. All the men are going to be in Jerusalem. God says, when you go to appear before me, I will watch out for you. That kind of miracle took place so that those 30,000 men were not detected. The king of Ai did not send out spies ahead of time. No lookout on the city wall saw them. And in the morning, the king of Ai gathered and said, let's do it again. Just as Joshua predicted. Go after him. And they organized and ran out after the larger army of Israel. Now they knew they had the victory, but they knew that that victory was going to come not only by way of ambush, but by making believe that they were afraid and they would run away. They had to show fear before that much smaller army of Ai. They showed that fear and they fled. They were obedient to the plan that God had given to them. They were obeying God. The king and the men of Ai were infatuated with their previous success. We did it before, we can do it again. Go after them. And they fled, went out and left the gates of the city wide open. Just like Pharaoh saw the children of Israel through the Red Sea, I'm going to get them. And they followed. Jehovah commanded Joshua to give a signal. The signal that Joshua was to give was verse 18, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. Now he's running away. He's fleeing, making believe, feigning fear, but he stretches out that spear. That's the signal that the 30,000 were waiting for. But that stretched out spear is to be connected with what God said in verse 26. Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. He held that spear out. The first time he held it out was a signal for all of the 30,000 to rise up, rush into the city, and to set it on fire. The black smoke begins to arise. Joshua stretched out spear again, tells the army that he is with him to stop, turn around, and fight. The men of Ai turn around and they see the smoke. And the smoke is a signal to them of defeat. But it's a signal to the children of Israel of victory. And then they went in. And the Bible makes it clear that they killed every living person. The fire was not destructive enough for those 570, once they had defeated all of the army of Ai, to continue to go in and destroy all the other people that were remaining alive in the city of Ai. But again, just like in Jericho, fire, fire, fire. Whether it's the fire and brimstone of Sodom and Gomorrah, whether it's the fire of Jericho and now of Ai, that fire is to represent hell. But don't think just physically fire. Think that's a demonstration and a picture of the wrath of God, the just wrath of God against sin. Wait a minute. Against that which is a violent violation of the person of God, he himself must respond and does with vengeance, with a holy vengeance, with a righteous anger, punishing those who think they're getting away with all of their violent violations of him. He responds and demonstrates his response with fire, hell, the wrath of God. No mercy, no truce. Because every one of them, the oldest and the babies, all together had filled the cup of iniquity. God said, it's just that right now, at this time in their history, that my wrath is exercised upon them. And God shows us very clearly how greatly he detests sin. And the men of the army had to be convinced equally. We must detest sin, theirs and mine. It is not difficult for us to watch some of the riots that were taking place and to condemn them, and rightly so. But also see how sometimes authority is what we also despise. It's in us as well, and we must respond just like those men of Israel, convinced of the calling that is ours to stand up against our sin. The king was purposefully kept alive, captured, set before Joshua. We don't know the details of his execution, but he is obviously killed. His body hung until night, because that was God's command. At dusk, you take the body off. But then they laid it before the gates of the city, and according to Joshua's command, here's another memorial. Another memorial. Jericho was a memorial. The man who wants to rebuild this city will rebuild it in the death of his firstborn and his youngest. Here's a memorial again. This is how horribly wrong sin is. Now we go back to what we had this morning. Abhor and loathe all that would violently violate our Heavenly Father. Not only by others, but also by ourselves. Hate it. Nail it. Destroy it. Israel is learning. God is teaching them that he uses them as his instruments. Humbly, to be an instrument of God in the execution of the ungodly requires a high level of spiritual discernment. Would we so hate sin that we would do that, starting with ourselves? Do we learn when God chastens, as he did in that first defeat of Israel at Ai? Learn that we have to follow his will and do it his way. If we experience victory, then we must do it not as if we accomplished it, but humbly. God did it. Somebody has a birthday. Some people get to be quite old. Just the same thing. this is not because I'm better. This is an honor, this is a God-given opportunity to acknowledge God's mercy, and that mercy endures forever. So just as we began, give praise to God, for God is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. We thank thee, Father, for again this powerful lesson that we are to do things thy way. We honor thee with the obedience that thou didst work in the children of Israel and in Joshua. And may we leave here more committed in our family life and in our work and in our play and all of our activity to give honor and praise to thee by doing things not our way, but thy way. Be our teacher. May we stand before thee like Joshua did and learn how thou wilt have us to respond to thy hand and thy work. Hear us and bless us for Christ's sake. Amen.